Skeleton
discussion.
We streamed Dark Souls, and me and Radical J and Sean had a really bizarre discussion about skeletons. I was kind of
bizarre. It was completely pointless.
The thing was, Sean, it would be a better idea to reanimate skin instead of a skeleton.
I said it would be more freaky, you idiot.
What do you say, reanimate skin? What do you even mean?
Yeah, like, have a skin walking around instead of a skeleton.
No, seriously, wouldn't it be more scarier if you were chased by a walking skin than walking skeleton?
No, the skin is soft. Skeletons are hard.
Yeah, what could a walking skin do to me?
Exactly. It still would look more freaky.
It doesn't matter how freaky it looks.
You could fend it off so easily, though. You could burn it. You could cut it. You could do things to it.
But it's skin. Actually, skin is quite tough. It's tougher than you think it is. Like, I did that practical in biology where I took that into a pig's trotter, and it's crazy.
I just used my tool.
Yeah, he's
sorry, I joined the conversation halfway through there.
Hello and welcome to Gentlemen Discussing Vidyard, the only podcast that's still made from 99% pure sausages, and the official podcast of lunchtime.org.uk and gatheryourparty.com, live streaming video and hard-hitting internet journalism, most respectively. The day is Easter Sunday, and according to my clock, it is the 8th of April. In the Not Studio today, we have me, Catsman, Dodds.
Hello.
Happy Man.
I ain't no hologram girl. Hello.
Hi. Shorty.
Morning.
And Taco Man.
Good morning.
That's it, because everyone else is off doing Easter things. To the news, which we will begin with, as we do every week, except when we don't. Mega Man creator Keiji Inafune, the guy who left Capcom last year. He's never really seemed like a really terribly upbeat guy, right? His 5 years at Capcom, as you may know, he was very vocal about the company not giving him enough creative freedom, the structure of the company didn't respect game designers, didn't allow him to do his job efficiently, all that stuff. In his speech at this year's GDC, he said, "Back in the day, our Japanese games were used to winning and achieve major success. But at some point, the winners became losers. By not accepting that fact, we have arrived at the tragic state of Japanese games. The Japanese game industry has become very close-minded." Would you agree with this criticism that he has, that Japanese developers often focus on making games solely for Japan, and if a game does get localized, it often alienates lots of wide-eyed people from Europe and America?
Well, isn't that with every single game? I mean, every single game is really trying to appeal to one audience, even if that audience is the casual gamers, the FPS players, the Japanese people.
Yeah, but why is Japanese people going their own
Japanese people. Well, in fairness, you know, most Western games don't appeal to Japanese people, so, you know.
Yeah, they do. Have you seen what is that? Japanese people have a real thing for Skyrim, I think, and also they really like Gears of War. Some Western games barely get over there or do crap, but there are just a couple that they pick out. Elder Scrolls is definitely one.
I guess Skyrim, because Japanese people love Norse mythology and Vikings.
I did not
all
know
about
that.
It. Yeah, in every single JRPG, there's a reference to Norse mythology, like summon.
There is a lot. Like those Persona games or whatever they're called.
Odin Sphere.
Odin Sphere. And, oh no, it's not a Persona game.
Tales games is guilty of this.
Shut up about Tales games.
Sorry.
I'm sorry for telling you to shut up, Dodds.
Well, another thing though is that whenever you've got, you know, Japanese game developers and American game developers, they're usually like making the game for their graphics, so, you know, the American game designers are making the first person shooters and, you know, Beef Jaw, Mick, you know,
beef jaw, hungry blood.
Yeah, whatever. And then the Japanese gamers are making all the kind of, you know, like fantasy games with, you know, slender McTiny hands and, you know, all these fucking
slender McTiny hands. No, well, that just sounds like a bad villain from a horror movie, like a B horror movie, I think. Have you seen that? Fantasy 13 2 characters are going to be. They're going to be modeling some kind of fashion range in America.
Yeah, like I'm going to be talking about that.
Oh, right, okay, I didn't read that. Okay, I'll shut up about that then. I only read that this morning. I was like, what the dicks is this?
Wait, no, go on about this. I need to hear.
No, we'll have it for
we'll
the list.
We'll get to it.
Oh, it's on the list, okay.
Do you think he's right? That Japanese developers is developing more games that are targeted at Western audiences, like Dead Rising? Or do you think that intrinsically Japanese games can still have a worldwide appeal?
Japanese games can have a worldwide appeal. I mean, they used to have one. So why can't they have them now?
Because they're all really stupid, is the answer to that question.
Back then, almost all games were made in Japan, like, at least for consoles.
Yeah, it wasn't really until PlayStation 1 that Western developers really started getting out. What they made was shitty movie tie-in games, and that was it.
Also, people who played video games back then were kids, and they were, adults. Most Japanese games just seem to strike better with kids than adults, at least old Japanese games.
When you look at the old games, they weren't really specifically catered to anyone either. Like, you look at Nintendo with, like, Super Mario or, you know, Legend of Zelda, you know, it was sort of like, oh, look, you're playing an Italian guy who steps on, you know, turtles, or you're playing this kid in a green costume who goes to save the princess. It's just, you know, the franchise isn't really targeted at anybody specifically.
Nintendo is the exception, though. I don't know how they do it. Maybe it's because they don't give all their games ridiculous, convoluted stories and swords the size of small trees and all that. But, yeah, they have a universal appeal.
They make consoles that print money, that's why.
Nintendo actually dares to take risks because of all their huge source of DS printing money, so...
They're sitting on enough money to keep their company afloat for the next 50 years, even if they don't sell a single video game. Not even joking. Well, maybe
joking. That would be nice.
What, that Nintendo didn't make a single video game for 50 years?
No, not that. I'm saying that having that much money would be nice.
I would do the Scrooge McDuck thing.
Just, you got Shiggy and Reggie off in a fucking vault somewhere just surfing on, you know, money and shit.
I can imagine that. I can imagine that happening. Why Reggie's
always
so cheerful?
What if you drowned in money?
What if you drowned in lava, John?
Nintendo of America president and CEO Reggie Fils-Aimé was found drowned in money today.
It could happen. You could get crushed by money. You know, he could be in the room below the money vault, and, you know, some poor slave worker could be shoveling money just with a spade into the vault.
Shovel too much money, it can't support all of that.
Nintendo's gonna be, in 2050, it's a bleak world for games above in Japan, because Nintendo has all the money, and nobody else has any, except maybe Square Enix, and that's only because they're publishing Deus Ex games now.
And a thing that kind of bugs me is companies like Capcom, who usually are pretty good with, well, they were making games for Japan and America. Like, you know, minute they'd be making, you know, Dead Rising, and the next minute they're making fucking, you know, something like Monster Hunter. And both games did, you know, fairly well on both shores, but just out of a sudden, out of the blue, they're kind of dive bombing, and they're stopping a lot of their localization, from what I understand. Monster Hunter. They're not localizing any of them anymore, pretty much.
Really?
From what I understand. Monster Hunter on the DS, I think the 3DS one, they're localizing that one. But they're not localizing the PSP ones. Or the one that was supposed to be the HD version on the PSP.
Well, it's because no one in America has a PSP. Not to do with their games.
Now, the Monster Hunter games sold like butter on the PSP, even in America and Europe.
Do you Swedes buy a lot of butter?
Swedish figure of speech. I woke up for an hour ago.
I did notice. I'll use that now, Shawnee. Thank you.
Well, thank you. But it's like
along
a lot
with
of those
what's
things
your
like...
favorite bone as a conversation starter.
But a lot of things, like, you know, they like Megman was a big long-standing thing of theirs, and then they're like, not shut it down. And then it's like, oh, you know, we've got a lot of these games so localized, nah, fuck them, shut it down.
Well, it's because Inafune is a whiny, miserable man who just doesn't seem like any fun at all.
I don't think he's whiny, I think he's just depressed.
Yeah.
He's kind of hit that point where he's like, I tried, like, I've been trying, he's like... He's like that hero in a movie that's just been trying the entire time to, you know, get people to realize, like, look, like, you know, look at what's happening, and then it's
Everyone ignores, I give up. It's too late.
It's like Mass Effect. Shepard goes through the entire game saying, like, look, the Reapers are coming, and they're like, no, Inafune, Shepard, they're not coming. And then they realize, no, the Reapers are here to destroy the game industry. What do we do, Shepard? I told you. I've been telling you, and now I'm making games where you play as lollies based off of consoles.
Oh yeah, he is now. He's making those.
I don't know if he's directing or if he's actually making them.
He's at that
company,
though. That's
yeah,
right.
he's at that company, and he's involved with
it. How the mighty have fallen.
It's like, you made Mega Man, and now you're making this? Why?
Actually, I think they're quite witty, but the gameplay is shite, so, yeah.
Inafune is actually making a trilogy of RPGs to the 3DS that's kind of reminiscent of... It's like a Kitty Sokoden.
I don't know what that is.
Also, I think that Capcom and Inafune is just suffering from a very bad post-breakup.
Yeah.
Like Capcom is burning all Inafune's things and
just
total disregard of how he feels.
Here you go, here's fucking bad cover art Mega Man. Take that, you shit.
They're trying to discredit him as much as possible, it seems. Sort of like, oh, you fucking left us, but look what we can do to your credit score.
They did the same to Clover Studios, didn't they? That when they re-released Okami, removed, like, credits and the names of the people who made those games. I think, personally, it's probably just out of spite.
Yeah, they got loads of shit for that.
Yeah.
They deserve loads of shit for that. It's going back to what he said.
Well,
the company is run by men in business suits rather than people who want to make games.
Well, so exactly like with Activision. You see Activision, that's another thing where the game industry is coming down. Like, you've got Bobby Kotick, a businessman who knows business, making video games into a business. He's never made video games. He doesn't know programming. He doesn't know... what the consumer wants. He knows how to get the consumer.
He does know what the consumer wants.
He knows how to get the consumer to give him more money and
how to get the consumer to buy things that they don't want that they believe they want.
Exactly. Like, you know, fucking 10-15 years ago, you'd buy a video game and like think Morrowind. Morrowind had the main game and then you had two expansions. And those expansions were completely new fucking, you know, brilliant add-ons. It wasn't like, you know, DLC, here's a new weapon and some armor, like, for $10. It was like, $10 for, like, a whole new fucking experience. And now it's like, well, here's DLC for stuff that we've already made, and we understand you're going to want to buy it because we're going to tell you to buy it. And, you know, that's the thing. People are making games to sell all these add-ons and extra content. And that's where they make the money off of. They don't make the games to have fun. They make the games to make money. They make you want to buy all this stuff.
To be honest, you know what, Tacker Man? I don't blame them.
Well, I guess not, because like from a business standpoint, they're probably making a fuckload of money. But from, you know, the, you know, people who've been playing games for, you know, 20 years, you know, those people are kind of pissed off now because they're not, you know.
The developers don't like them either. The developers get really rich off them, but they don't like them, and a lot of them leave and go found their own studios. Now, this is a depressing bit of news, right, that I have right here. At the end of last month, the poor, wretched company that we call Sega, by Sega Sammy, who's their parent company, announced that it expects the organization to lose approximately 7.1 billion yen, which is about 55 million pounds sterling, by the end of the financial year. As a result of this, Sega will likely be laying off many staff, cancelling upcoming game projects in order to focus on their strongest franchises. It means that rubbish like Suit the Hoog and Football Manager. Do you think somewhere Keiji Inafune is yelling, "I told you so," yes, for more Doom-related properties for these Japanese developers?
He's sitting there in his apartment just shouting it out the window, just, "I told you, Sega!
Fucking Sega, Sammy, you didn't listen!" That's big loss, 7.1 billion yen.
How did they lose that much money, though?
I don't know.
What did they do with it?
I've seen some of their high-profile games last year sell pretty well, to be honest.
Sonic Colors did well, apparently.
Wasn't Sonic Generations, like, really well-received?
It was it was much better received than other Sonic games. And it was better than other Sonic games, to be honest.
Yeah.
Except the old ones.
They've been going uphill again with that branch.
Very slowly. They've been going very slowly uphill. You know, it hasn't been it hasn't been an instantaneous thing. But just as they're about to reach the top of this mountain of shit that they've been climbing, hey, 7.1 billion loss. Bang. So I think
here's a lightning strike and a meteor to just fucking slow you down. Just blah.
Here's the friggin' Godzilla from SimCity. Enjoy destroying your power plant. Sega, you bastards. I wish, right?
Went 1 billion dollar? Fuck you, you bomb!
We still had Sega instead of Microsoft.
I agree.
Oh, it's... Sega's had a fucking rough... Sega had a rough life.
They had a hard life.
A hard life. And they've been slowly dying from...
Put them out their misery.
I don't know. They've still got all these, you know, great things that they could contribute. And at one point, they were even talking about bringing their own console back into the, you know, back into
and
the race.
And then this.
And then this. And now it's sort of like, well, everything that Sega has been, you know, doing right over the last couple of years is probably going to stop happening now. Because they're going to do a total 180 and try and figure out, like, well, what have we been doing wrong? Well, it's this, 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 and this, which is the things we've been doing right, so fuck it, 180 on it.
I still don't understand what caused this great money loss. I mean,
what did they release last year? Because I think they released some games that sell well, but I looked at the article, which is from TheVerge.com, and I see a lot of stuff mentioned that I barely even realized got released. Like,
well,
binary
didn't Sega,
domain.
Like,
binary domain. What the fuck is that shit?
Maybe
didn't
it was
Sega
just a
actually
lot of,
publish all of Platinum's games?
Yes, they do. And all of Platinum's are destined to lose lots and lots of money. That's
I
true.
Still don't understand why. They are amazing. They're just not well marketed enough.
They're Sega's
Maybe
only
that's
good
it.
Third party.
Maybe Sega's just got poor marketing skills and they're just not making enough off PR or whatnot.
Everyone knows about Sonic.
That's because it's Sonic. Sonic's been around for fucking, you know, since the beginning almost. So everyone's
going to
know Sonic.
There was Mario, and then there was Sonic, and nobody remembers Adventure or the Magnavox Odyssey.
Let's not talk about those.
Shall we move on?
Know, it's sad, but I hope Sega doesn't go under for this, you know. Titanic style.
We would have to get someone to replace them, wouldn't we?
We
can't just have every company get absorbed into either EA or Activision. That's not how it works.
So it's just the vortex of just despair. Like, quickly, we must assimilate them into the hive mind.
Well, I bet Square
they are weak, strike now.
I bet Square Enix is going to buy Sega. They're like the EA. They're like the Japanese EA.
Square Enix has done pretty well. They got like Eidos, and you know they've been making some decent games. They've got Just Cause, and what else? Hitman, some other games.
Square
you know,
Enix,
which...
basically,
they're doing Hitman now. Oh my god!
Like,
they're just publishing it. Taka, don't lose hope.
Okay.
Okay. But then again, Final Fantasy 13 2 was basically a shitstorm. So, yeah, they can't develop games. They just have other people that are competent in developing games do it for them.
Well, you know, that seems the easiest way for Japanese developers sort of to get into the Western market. They buy a Western studio, like Square Enix did buy
Eidos. Doesn't that defeat the point somewhat?
It totally defeats the point.
Let's ship this American company all the way across the ocean to Japan, and they can just make American games in Japan. That's fine. Let's do that.
If Keiji Mifune was dead, he'd be rolling in his grave at that comment.
He's
probably in his bathtub right now doing barrel rolls. Just at that.
To continue, right? This is an excellent story. In 2009, in the UK alone, police arrested 3,752 people for football hooliganism. In the early 00s, the average number of deaths per year due to playing American football, or hand egg, was between 15 and 23. In the US, in 2006, there were 460,000 football-related injuries that required medical treatment in a hospital. But don't worry, football is good for you. Video games, on the other hand, are dangerous. At least that's what Alison Sherritt, the Vice President of the Association of Teachers and Lecturers, is suggesting. She says, in a lecture and later to The Telegraph, there is a rise in hitting, hurting, and thumping in the classroom, which is being attributed to video games, which are obviously the single most significant factor in the intellectual and physical development of today's children. She adds, children are growing up desensitized to aggression and bloodshed. Instead of pointing to a regularly peer-reviewed or thoroughly reputable scientific study showing this connection, because none exist, she instead said that a small-scale survey had taken place in her school, showing that almost all pupils had consoles or PCs in their bedrooms. I would suggest that if children are taking part in this fairly solitary existence, this will impact on their speaking and listening skills, which will, in turn, impact on their ability to concentrate and learn in school. She continued, which is so irrelevant and thoroughly illogical that it makes me worry about the quality of the teaching that she's providing to her pupils. Gentlemen, did you play violent video games as a child? And if so, why aren't you in prison or a mental asylum right now? There must be some weird explanation for it. Go on.
I have a good one. Like I was saying last time, because I have good parents. That's why.
Good parents? What is this parents we speak of here? Everyone knows that it's either teachers or video games' fault, surely.
Oh, it's... what she's saying with, students having consoles or PCs or whatnot in their bedrooms. Well, then that's the parents putting a console within reach of a child, unsupervised, and not caring, you know? That's bad parenting. Or someone who lets their kid, you know, 5-year-old kid play Gears of War. That's bad parenting.
I don't think that's bad parenting, Taka, man. When I was a kid, I used to play all the most violent, offensive video games I could possibly find, right? And I'm absolutely fine. Personally, I don't think there is a correlation, but I think that correlation is due to violent people gravitate towards violent things. If you're already violent, then you gravitate towards violent media. In fact, I've seen it happen. Anecdotal evidence, take that for what you will. But, I played like Grand Theft Auto when it first came out, and I really wasn't that old when the DOS version of Grand Theft Auto came out. It might have been 1995, I can't remember. It was old. It was the top-down one with the conga lines that you could set on fire, you know. It wasn't actually that controversial.
Well, I was playing, you know, Vice City on the PS2, and, Soldier of Fortune. You could blow limbs off. Soldier of Fortune.
Yeah, but it's
that
still...
That was some pretty high-tech shit.
It's still the whole thing that... the whole correlation between violence of video games and people having children being violent is a huge insult to any child's intelligence.
And
their ability to think for themselves. It's basically saying, you're being manipulated by media, so therefore we shall cut off all the media for you.
It's weird, because children are crafty little shits, and they're more intelligent than half the parents think they are. I actually think that, you know, in some cases there have been cases of school shooters where, the guy's gone around and shot up a school and killed a bunch of people, and they're like, so, how do you explain this? And the guy's like, video games!
Well, with the Columbine shootings, they were saying it was like, oh, it's the music. It was, you know, Marilyn Manson told him to kill everyone through his music, and it's pretty much the same thing with these teachers. It's like, yes, video games are telling children to be violent and, you know, do violent things and be bad in school and be antisocial neckbeards that live in their parents' basement till they're 35. No, that's preferences of the individual.
Actually, Catman, you said earlier about violent people graduating toward violent things. I was a pretty violent kid, but I almost never played in violent video games until my teens. I think the worst one was Super Metroid.
That's not really terribly violent, to be honest.
Did you know about violent games when you were a kid? That, you know.
I knew about them, but I didn't have any real interest in them.
Exactly. Games aren't they're not the same as they were back then, you know. Call of Duty's like, say, the in thing right now, you know. Most kids will know what Call of Duty is. Back then, the popular game was Mario. You know, big difference, really.
I don't agree. I mean, when I was a kid, I watched Resident Evil, Grand Theft Auto, Tomb Raider, and I knew about those games, and I didn't really want to play them because I was like, yay, Final Fantasy. But I knew about them, and they were, for me, they were the adult games.
So, through playing Final Fantasy, you became the homosexual you are today.
I agree.
Final Fantasy is corrupting our nation's children. We should ban it and Japan.
Itchy and Ifune's just, he's crying in the corner now.
You've broken him. I'm sorry, Inafune. I'm sorry, K-Man.
That poor man.
I'll make it up to you. I'll send you a cake with bad box art Mega Man's face on it. You think that video games are a scapegoat in the same way that that movies and popular music and dancing and television and, in days gone by, even books? Do you think it's the same thing?
Pop.
Most definitely. You know,
yes, Coca-Cola's ADHD.
I mean, the whole thing is that a lot of the media like goes over the whole thing of the police searched his apartment and they found an Xbox. And then the media goes like, "Herder, video games make people violent. The killer killed people because he had an Xbox."
The other forms of media are scared because video games are becoming so big and mainstream, and the film industry is getting smaller and smaller each year, and the game industry is getting bigger. So they will not hesitate to portray video games in a negative light whenever they can, because they feel threatened.
Because, you know, when you have movies like Jarhead, that's totally not going to fuck up some little 5-year-old kid if they ever watched it. Just saying.
If they still made good movies, I'm sure it wouldn't be a problem. I can't name a good movie I've seen in the past, 5 years. I can name okay movies.
In Bruges was fantastic. But I don't remember when that one was made. You should all watch it. Fantastic writing. Absolutely. Just the screenplay is phenomenal.
But it's weird that between generations we never learn. Like, you can go back and you can look at accounts of this kind of stuff from the Victorian era. And it's full of people writing, oh, the kids today, they have no respect for their elders. They're the worst generation yet. We weren't anything like them when we were their age. They're going to grow up to be really weird. Gosh darn it. World's going completely down the shitter. They all say the exact same thing. It's just over and over and over.
Well, I saw a funny little comic strip a little while back. I probably won't quote it 100%, but the general idea was, today parents are saying, oh, kids, why don't, you know, they're always playing video games. Well, why don't they watch more TV? And then, you know, back 10 or 20 years ago, they're like, oh, kids these days, they're watching too much TV. Why don't they read more books? And then, you know, back 100 years ago, they're like, oh, fucking kids these days, they're reading too much books. Why don't they go play outside? And then, a million years ago, cavemen were saying, like, there's fucking wild animals outside, man. Why don't kids sit inside for a little while? You know? And it's sort of like the thing is every year, every, you know, generation, something newfangled and exciting happens, like radios and TV and video games. And the parents are always like, oh, this newfangled technology, I didn't have it when I was a kid. It must be doing something terrible to my children, you know.
There's two lines, right? One of these lines is when you're about 25. Any technology invented after you're 25 is amazing and magical and wondrous. And then any technology invented after you're about 45 is black magic and the devil and evil and everyone was better off without it. That's how I tend to find it goes with people I know. And there, just that said, I have taught my dad to use Linux. I'm very proud of him. He used to get so many viruses on the Windows computer from browsing dodgy sites, although I won't go into that.
Son, it says here I need to download more RAM. and more hard drive.
Hey, downloadmoreram.com is a legit service, okay? If anyone else says hurting for RAM, downloadmoreram.com. They even have Mac-approved RAM. Not even kidding. Is anyone else really annoyed that, like, the older generation, they seem to, like, very few of them make no attempt to sit down, watch their kids play video games, look at the content of the games, or just try to understand them. It's just like they're a babysitter. I have vivid memories of, like, when I was a kid, me and my dad would sit down and we would take turns and we would try to play Mega Man. We would try to win at Mega Man. And it wasn't if it did very good, but, you know, he knew video games that I was playing, and he understood them, and he partook in them. And I think that lots of parents these days just sit their children down in front of the TV and go and do something else.
Like I said, bad parenting. Like, but when I was younger, you know, at first my parents thought video games were a great thing, and, you know, my dad would sit down with us every once in a while and, you know, play Mario Kart with us or something. And then as we grew older, they sort of kind of joined the whole demographic of, well, you know, maybe too much video games is bad for your kid, which, you know, too much video games is bad for anybody.
Too much anything is bad for everyone, right?
Even well, I don't know, too much cocaine you can have a hell of a night. Well, that's true. But, you know, the thing though is that, you know, maybe parents should just sit down with their kids, see what they're doing, and fucking, you know, spend time with their children. And see what they do, see what their kids are doing when they're not spending time with them. Because you can't spend, you know, all fucking day with your kids. You'd go mad. You don't want to spend all day with your kids. You don't want to spend all day with anybody.
It's Dodds. Anyway, I'm told that you shouldn't tell people with kids how to do anything to do with their kids because it really, really annoys them.
No, I'm not gonna fucking walk up to somebody and say, hey, you know, you're doing your parenting wrong, because I'm 20 years old. I don't have kids. You know, I don't know how you do your own parenting, but from how I grew up or from how I see things, it's sort of like, just know what your kids are doing, and that can, you know, avoid 50% of the problems. Just know what they're up to. Don't just leave them in a room doing shit. Because who knows, maybe they are the crazy kid who makes pipe bombs and shoot up their school. You never know. That's what Keiji Funafuni's been saying this whole time.
I think the bottom line is, right, if teachers and parents are concerned about the mental well-being of children, like, for real, then I think it's dangerous to try and paint video games as some kind of bogeyman, when there could really be real, serious, psychological issues behind whatever problems their kids have, and those could potentially be being ignored. I mean, it's really dangerous, it's irresponsible, and I personally am appalled at any kind of organization like the Association of Teachers and Lecturers that could promote this kind of homeopathy, to be honest.
Maybe teachers are the problem. Maybe they're doing things to our children that we don't know.
Well, maybe.
I think we need to
pay more attention to what your teacher is telling you about your children and try to meet with your teacher, your child's teacher, and convene with them, perhaps. I don't know.
Either way, stop blaming video games and start actually finding what the real
problem
is. I'm
not saying it's never video games' fault, but you've got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, there's you know, there's more than one problem amongst everything.
Right. Tragically misunderstood, but actually really quite lovable monolithic game distributor EA has been picked by the Consumerist as the worst company of 2012 and won a golden poo for their effort. The Consumerist writes, traditionally, the poo has been delivered on its little red pillow, but this year we'll give EA three different colour options for its pillow, though in the end, it'll be the same old poo. EA, of course, is the company that ruthlessly murdered Origin Systems, Bullfrog, Westwood, Maxis, Pandemic, and more. Do you think the people that voted on this poll need to acquire some sense of perspective? Or do you think that they were justified in not letting EA off the hook just because the Bank of America exists?
Well, if EA is to believe, they were all homophobes who voted against them.
I think both Apple and Facebook are worse than EA. I don't know what Bank of America has done because I'm not American. I'm not really well read about that. But
do you remember that whole global economic like crisis that we had recently?
Oh, that's their fault.
Well, it's not exclusively their fault. Theirs. So yeah, beat Bank of America.
A bunch of angry nerds got the vote over a bunch of angry everybody in the world.
Do not mess with angry nerds when it comes to online polls, Taco Man. If there's one thing that angry nerds do well, it's online polls. I should know. I am one, and I vote angrily. Although
Bob
I have
and Bob
to say,
beat Master Chief.
I didn't vote for EA or anyone in this because I didn't know it existed until EA won it.
I don't know. It's the sort of thing, though, is I wouldn't say EA is the worst company and, you know, the worst American company out there, because obviously there are probably people who are worse. But from a video game standpoint, I would say yes, out of all the video game companies, EA is definitely the worst.
Oh, definitely.
And unfortunately, Vancouver, the city I live in, has several EA offices and a Capcom office.
I think Active Blizzard is a little bit worse, to be honest. Although EA, they prey on innocent developers, and then they gobble them up, and then they destroy them.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's they. Activision makes a business out of video games. EA makes piles of shit out of video games, fortunately. And in return, they have received a pile of shit.
That's karma, like on Reddit, XD, now all bacon's at midnight, XDDDDDDDDDD.
It's funny, because everyone blames Reddit for everything now.
Yeah. So, serious mother companies they beat, right? Walmart, PayPal, Ticketmaster, Comcast, Apple, and of course several of the banks that were directly involved in the economic collapse. I mean, I can't believe that they're worse than Apple. Apple is one of my least favorite companies of all time. Just like I don't really care that much about the hardware they produce. It's not for me. I don't mind people who like it, but just the anti-competitive way in which they run their business.
They filed a lawsuit against somebody over the slide to unlock function.
Oh, well, according to Apple, they own every patent in the known universe.
Yeah, like I said, they're stagnating the market and they're destroying anybody's opportunity to do anything.
The thing about Apple is that it's not fair competition. They deliberately try to destroy it. They deliberately try to financially ruin businesses that compete with them over stupid shit, including trying to make them pay legal fees that they'll never be able to afford for a patent that Apple should never have in the first place.
Well, another thing, though, is it's just it's over the most asinine things. Like you said, they're pulling lawsuits out of their ass, out of thin air, out of just every nook and cranny, just to simply stagnate or destroy the market.
Well, just Steve so that Jobs they can stay went on top. He went to the grave believing that Android was a by-the-books rip-off of iOS, and they should do everything they possibly can to destroy it, you know. I think he probably said something along those lines. From Star Wars, just like that.
The reason there's no Keiji Inafune for the electronics industry saying, you know, Apple is going to kill us off is because Apple already sued them into oblivion and locked them in a box in their basement somewhere
what
in California.
What about the Chinese rip-off version of Steve Jobs that has angel wings and a halo?
The what?
There's a Chinese version of Steve Jobs. It's like a Chinese guy who is the Chinese Steve Jobs. And when Steve Jobs died, he started walking around with a halo and a pair of angel wings.
Oh my god. How do you even get away with something like that? What a dick.
I know, I think it's quite funny, really. A bit disrespectful, yeah, sure.
Very.
But it's
Steve Jobs was a dick and probably, you know, deserves it.
He was a dick, so. But I'd like, no one's happy when someone else dies. I mean, it's a stupid thing to be happy
Americans were pretty fucking happy when Osama died.
Yeah.
There was a lot of men hollering. I could hear it all the way up here.
But would it have been more disrespectful if the guy hadn't donned angel wings and a halo and just carried on pretending to be Steve Jobs after Steve Jobs had died, like nothing happened?
Just sort of walks into the office, guy. Like, guys, just to let you know, the whole cancer thing, that never actually happened. I'm actually Steve Jobs. It's all okay. We'll do a press meeting tomorrow.
I've been reincarnated.
The Dalai Lama did me a solid and just brought me back. We're all good.
All that homeopathy stuff, right? That actually worked. Check it out. And as a bonus, I'm now Chinese. EA rather bafflingly actually responded to having been given this award. I'm going to say what they said now. We're sure that British Petroleum, AIG, Philip Morris, and Halliburton are all relieved that they weren't nominated this year. We're going to continue making award-winning games and services played by more than 300 million people worldwide. Now, I know they're trying to imply that they aren't as bad as the companies that they listed, but I can't help in it but liken it to Stalin saying, yeah, well, you just wait until Mao Zedong when quizzed on his intense disregard for human life and well-being.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also sort of like people making a bigger deal about Hitler over Mao or Stalin, because both of them, you know, everyone's like, oh my god, Hitler killed 6 million people.
I was trying not to quote Godwin's law. I deliberately picked Mao Zedong.
I know, but the thing is like, well, he killed 6 million of a specific demographic, and the two of them killed, you know, far more exuberant amounts than he ever did, but, you know, nobody gave a shit.
Yeah, because,
wars were started
about
it.
Not to say
it,
that he wasn't America. Kind of a dick, because he was. It's just there are bigger dicks out there. And while it's very nice for EA to admit that there are bigger dicks out there, that's not saying that EA aren't a bunch of dicks, because they are, because they've been nominated for the award that BP won, right? Okay?
Mm-hmm. BP is a bunch of dicks.
I could go on for a very long time about BP, but I won't.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure BP isn't an American company, so they don't qualify for the award anyway.
They are an American company now.
They
the
are.
Majority
are.
Shareholders are American. That's not the same.
What the hell are they called BP then? BAP or something?
They're still a bunch of arseholes back when they were British. They've always been a bunch of arseholes. Haven't changed anything.
Well, either way, the thing is yes, there were more deserving companies out there, but at the same time, it's like, haha, fuck you, EA.
Yeah.
Stop ruining video games.
Fuck you, EA.
The thing is that EA won't listen to anything that the fans have to say. I mean, even if they win the worst company of the world, they'll just be like,
we're still making money.
Yeah.
The spokesperson said in a press release, duh, sub blah blah.
That would not surprise me if that happened, actually.
No, not me.
I don't know. Well, fuck, like a lot of the BioWare guys and a lot of people from, you know, speaking from EA about stuff like that, a lot of their Twitter accounts are fucking, you know, blogs
and shit. They're quite mousy people, aren't they?
They are. They are just a lot of them are incredibly rude and fucking. They don't give a shit about what the public image they portray, because they want to tell you to fuck off, and they are going to tell you in the most exuberant online way possible. They will let you know how big of a sack of shit you are.
Here's something that might interest you, right? IGN, yeah, I know IGN. IGN recently reported that they somehow magically know the tech specs of the PlayStation 4, an imaginary console that may exist at some point, but right now only exists in baseless speculation. They don't really give any sources or explain where they got this, but what they say is the supposed specs put it at 2.9 gigahertz quad-core processor from AMD with its own integrated graphics solution built in, that in tandem with a dedicated GPU, not unlike ATI's HD 7670. Interestingly, the specs of this card are almost exactly the same as the card that's basically rumored to be powering the Xbox 129,600. Gentlemen, how do you feel about the possibility of PS4 being powered by what is, by most regards, an entry-level GPU and CPU when compared with modern gaming PCs?
I didn't really expect any better. I mean...
Is it more powerful than the PlayStation 3's current hardware?
By a long shot, really. That was entry-level back then. It's kind of, back up to par.
Well, no, it was a bit higher end back then, yeah. I think. And obviously this stuff is better than what they had, but it's not as big of a jump as, say, PS1 to PS2 or PS2 to PS3.
Yeah. Well, the thing is the running joke is console gaming is killing video games because their hardware can't be upgraded and it never starts off to standard. It always comes in at the entry level, and it doesn't try to be any more than that. And so if they're starting off, as long as they're starting off substantially better than the previous generation, well, good for them. And I've also heard something where it's like, it's supposed to be like some sort of 16-core mega fucking ass-raping computer of untold proportions or something. And I'm just going to admit right now, I don't know much about computers, I just play video games and shit and have fun. But
fun.
Yeah, that's the buzzword right there.
Fun doesn't really exist. You've been tricked.
How about the article about the whole thing where the Wii U, that an anonymous source said that the Wii U was worse than the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360?
If they really meant that, then they wouldn't have said it anonymously then, would they? They really believe that.
The thing is that all these console new console rumors are being thrown around like God knows what, and
yeah.
I just gave up on reading anything that has console rumors on it. I'm just going to stick to the fact that Sony said there are no plans of showing the PS3 and the PS4 at E3 this year.
Think of it this way. Nintendo is doing incredibly well with the Wii and with the 3DS and with the DS lineup, they're doing fantastic. Everyone else, PlayStation and Xbox, not as much. And the Vita, look at the Vita. The Vita's bombed.
God.
Like, that thing just bombed ass.
Right.
The big booty bitches all over the place.
I have a theory about these consoles, and it is that the amount of power that your console has computationally is inversely proportional to its success. And to back up this hypothesis, I present to you every single console and handheld generation bar the Genesis and the Super Nintendo. Every single one. The victor, if you will, the one that has sold the most, has been the one with the lowest spec, cheapest hardware. And you know what? I don't want to pay 250 quid for a handheld games console. I don't want to pay 250 quid for a sits-on-my-desk games console. Actually, I want it to be as cheap as humanly possible, to be honest.
That's what I think. It's marked for families. It's marketed for people to buy up. People look at it, they say, hey, look, it's the cheapest one there, and it looks fun, so they buy it. And everyone else is like, well, look how fucking great it is. You could, you can see a freckle on a man's ass from a mile away with this hardware. And it's like, I don't want to look at a freckle on a man's ass from a mile away. I want to play Super Mario or some shit. Just let me have, here's the buzzword, let me have fun. And they're more concerned with, how much RAM they can you know, pull out their ass than, you know, how much fun they can put
in
hardware.
How much RAM can they fit up their ass?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, you go to ramdownload.com and we can probably ask their support team.
We should.
How much RAM can I download into my ass? I'm going to try that.
Ram his ass. I'm above this. I like to think I'm above this, but I'm not.
You're not.
I really hope, with us. I hope that the PS4 is a hardware piece of crap, because that means it'll do really well and have lots of good games for it, if my theory has anything to say about it. What do you think about these rumours of mandatory online activation and games being locked to user accounts, as if I don't already know all of you guys' collective answer?
I think it's bullshit. Surprisingly, Kotaku put up an article of what the benefits would be if this would actually happen.
He's the crazy guy.
Why? How? How could Kotaku or ever justify this?
It's Kotaku. They're kind of like the bottom end of video game journalism, if you haven't realized.
Do you have their rationale at hand? Does anyone have that?
Hey, I'm reading an article right now about a guy that's whining about people calling him gay on YouTube comments.
What did he expect? Discussion about the philosophy of Immanuel Kant?
Kotaku guy wrote like the longest article about how YouTube commenters called him gay. It was like several pages.
So what, now he's turning Kotaku into his personal blog?
Well, yeah, Kotaku is a personal blog. I saw on the front page, my Mass Effect 3 experience in 480 screenshots. This was on the front page, biggest article there. One of the Kotaku writers, she had played Mass Effect and she had taken all these screenshots and just put them up there. On Kotaku.
This is why I have some hope for the folks that you've partnered the GLA with, because hopefully they'll be starting their website up and not doing this kind of stuff. I think we might be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, we can get our sources from them for the podcast.
Yeah,
talking about fucking Kotaku all the time.
We work in conjunction with them. It's like, hey, you guys aren't shit. We'll listen to you.
I don't know if they're doing news to start off with. I think they're just doing reviews, and then they'll do news if they get enough people who to write it. Who can write? That's the thing. If you're on the internet, you can't just, you know, hire the first bloody idiot who you come across, or you'll end up with Kotaku. You have to find people who can write.
And you have to find people who can go somewhere and get the news.
Well, the thing is that if you compare yourself to Kotaku, a fucking 8-year-old could write for them, and they will still be better journalism.
You mean they're not 8-year-olds?
Dude, I would read a news article, a video game news article written by little kids. I would read that shit all day long.
Billy's Mass Effect 3 experience. The ending was made of duties, but there were boobs everywhere. Yeah!
And there's one kid who always liked
it. Friends with robots. And that was my Mass Effect 3 experience.
Who always posts things that some kid on the playground told him. Rumors.
This is going to be from Red 3, so the PlayStation 4 would be duty.
My dad works for Nintendo. And he says that Nintendo are releasing a console that, I don't know, you can put your penis in or something. Something along that line.
It's money! Maybe we gotta get this there. If you all have younger siblings, find them, get their friends to start a website and do this.
My sister asked me to have to talk to her more about this.
Dodds.
I'm Dodds.
Yeah, your sister. Your sister says the most amazing things. You have to get her on board with this.
Wait.
Oh my god, this could be like kids say the darndest things, but with video games.
Yes.
We could have... Oh man, this could be fantastic. We've stumbled across a gold mine here, gentlemen.
No, let's tell nobody of this idea, except
I don't know what the idea is. I think I'm passed out or something.
Your sister needs to start a video game blog, okay? Thank you.
Written by 8-year-olds.
She could go work with that site we're partnered up with.
No, it's not going to be
good. Yeah, the kitty corner.
Happy Man, you should have your younger sister write articles about video games.
Yeah, that's what I just said. I'm going to talk to her about it.
It's a website just for little sisters.
Best taste in video games.
My little sister's an asshole. She'll be great.
She
fucking assaults me all the time.
Wait, you get your ass kicked by a little girl?
Yeah, she brought me down once.
Wow.
Let's not talk about this anymore. Let's not talk about how terrible fighter I am, beaten down by an 11-year-old.
I think Keiji Inafune needs to start talking about how, you know, Swedish masculinity is on the decline as well. First it was video games, now it's men. What's wrong with this world?
Let's go to the next segment.
Right, here we go. BioWare.
Oh, yes! What?
There we go.
No, revving up that heat machine.
It was on the surely extremely momentous day of April the 5th, 2012, that BioWare Tokugai general manager and all-around awesome dude Dr. Ray Mizuka did descend down from his crystal fortress in Edmonton and utter to us the following words. Since launch, we have had time to listen to the feedback from our most passionate fans, and we are responding. With the Mass Effect 3 extended cut, we think that we have struck a good balance in delivering the answers players are looking for while maintaining the team's artistic vision to the end of the story arc in the Mass Effect universe. Casey Hudson, executive producer of the Mass Effect series, added, "We have reprioritized our post-launch development efforts to provide the fans who want more closure with even more context and clarity to the ending of the game, in a way that will feel more personalized for each player. The downloadable goodness will ooze its way to your console or computer box soon and will be free, provided you've bought the game before April 12th. Gentlemen, is this what you wanted? Is this what I wanted? Is this what we wanted? I'm such a confused flurry of emotions right now. It's difficult to tell."
Well, what I wanted at first was just a good video game with a good ending. I got the good video game, didn't get the good endings. Then everybody, or as they like to call it, the verbal minority, said, "Your work is shit, please change it." And being the artistic hipsters that they are, they said, "No, it's not shit, you're shit for not liking it." And unfortunately, enough of the verbal minority made enough of a complaint, and now they're delaying their endgame DLC or whatnot they wanted to call it, to give us some sort of slapstick together epilogue or something.
Do you think are you saying that they're wanting to change the ending because people didn't like the ending? Is it
Well, they're not
thing?
Changing the ending. What they're doing is they're still going to be the red, green, blue bullshit at the end, but instead of everything ending as just like a red, green, or blue explosion, and suddenly you're on Jungle Island with whoever the fuck was left on the Normandy, it's going to be all of that, but they're going to explain what happens afterwards.
So it's just like a director's cut.
It's pretty much we're just adding in a couple cutscenes just to shut you fuckers up.
But they said they're trying to make it more unique based on your Mass Effect history.
Catsman, for 5 goddamn years, they've been saying this is going to be the most unique, interesting conclusion to a trilogy you have ever seen. And what did we get? We got red, green, blue explosions.
In fairness, the thing they said about, you know, it's going to be more about, you know, the, what am I trying to say, relevant to what you've done in the game. What that just means is a character you didn't kill is going to say something at the end or something, or appear in a cutscene, probably.
I don't know. I can't see that much bad in it. Although the cynical part of my mind thinks that they planned this from the very beginning, and they're just taking whatever post-launch DLC they were making and repackaging it as this. And they'll make some money off of this, because not everyone buys the game when it's released. They're going to have to pay for it if you bought after April the 12th, which is before the DLC comes out.
Here we go.
Oh, what is this? What is this?
For fuck's sake, YouTube ads, you sons of bitches. If you could all
take the time.
What you get for using Chrome, you deserve it for using Chrome.
Bugger off. Anyways, if you could all take the time at some point to YouTube the Mass Effect 3 Animal House ending. That is exactly it. Here, I'll post a link here in the Mumble for you guys to watch at some time.
I would have enjoyed a Mass Effect 3 Animal House ending.
Yeah, it's
with the Animal
like
House music.
This one has the Animal House. This one, yeah.
Like that.
This, I don't know. The thing though is that what Mass Effect 3 did was it made an ending with some herder, I'm so deep in artsy hipster bullshit ending, and they said, it's art, fucking deal with it, you goddamn nerds. And now they're like, well, the nerds, their plebeian minds can't accept our artistic brilliance, so we're just going to throw in some cutscenes here and there and at the ending, and that'll shut them up.
Hipster? Doesn't being hipster actually doing original stuff?
Not really, because everyone's a hipster now. I just throw the word around as an insult now.
I got Instagram on my Android phone, so I can start taking like artsy pictures that look like they've been taken with a really old camera.
My 13-year-old sister has Instagram.
Either way, so far everything on the internet that is a Mass Effect fan-made ending is probably 10 to 100 times better than the actual Mass Effect 3 ending that is currently there.
What
especially this one, this Animal House. This is fantastic as hell. I love this. It makes me laugh every time I see it.
Do you think if petition Irrational Games enough, they'll change Bioshock's ending? And whoever made the recent movie version of I Am Legend. Also, I didn't particularly enjoy The Great Gatsby, so I'd like to petition for the book to be rewritten to be about a talking dog called Gatsby who solves crimes. What do you think?
Well, shit, we've had people like Shakespeare petitioned to change their work when they were still alive. Like, if you look at it, like, public outcry at the time was like, Shakespeare, your fucking play is shit.
And
Shakespeare was like, ye gods, to rewrite this bullshit or not to rewrite this bullshit. Fuck it, might as well do it.
That.
I could, you know. Well, I don't have an exact quote, so I'm going to sound like a bit of a fucking lame ass for saying it, but, you know, just Google it, and there will be a source somewhere on Google saying some shit that Shakespeare has had to rewrite, among others.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Some people just need to be told, like, oh, you know, you've had good ideas before, but this one you've got here, it's just rubbish. Just change it.
It's the Fight Club.
George Lucas, you know.
Oh,
you know, he got all the way, he got his way with the original three episodes because, you know, it was the great George Lucas. He came up with the original Star Wars.
Yeah,
you know?
He couldn't go wrong.
See, yeah, he's perfect.
George Lucas is the exact opposite of BioWare. It's sort of like, George, you made a beautiful, amazing thing. Stop fucking changing it! And in this case, we're like, guys, you made a piece of shit. Change it a little bit.
It was the guy who made a Fight Club. Now, I haven't read Fight Club, and apparently it's one of those few movie film adaptions, because I was annoyed at One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest recently because they ruined all the characters. But anyway, it was apparently one of the few movie adaptions where the movie doesn't compare horribly to the book, and the book's author says he liked the movie ending more, and that it made more sense to him.
Well, having the visual, you know, actual aid there, instead of just trying to imagine what's going on.
I have a very active imagination, so I have no problem with that.
I like both the movie and the book, to put it simply.
But, I mean, either he didn't like it and he was just being very modest, or he did like it and he was being very modest and he was saying, you know, well, actually, sometimes I just need to be told when I'm having good ideas and when I'm not having good ideas by someone else.
Well, sometimes some people can improve on your stuff.
But sometimes you don't want to listen to people. You have to forge your own artistic vision, or you'll end up with something that's shit. You'll end up with a friggin' horse designed by a committee, won't you?
The thing is, that BioWare has never, ever listened to what any criticism has done before. I mean, look at Hamburger Helper. I mean,
let's not bring Hamburger Helper into this.
Can we do this without Mass Effect 3?
I can't remember who it was who wrote Mass Effect 3, but it wasn't the guy who wrote the original.
No, the guy who wrote the original did one and, like, 2, and the guy who did 3 did 2 and 3. So, kind of transition. That's a better word. And unfortunately, they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
They really should not have.
It's kind of weird finishing something that someone else has written, isn't it? Because you're like, you sort of have an idea of where it was going or where they might have wanted it to go, but you don't really know. And you're sort of awkwardly trying to fill their shoes and do something in the same style that they might have done with, but it doesn't really work.
That's like your friends giving you an ice cream cone and they've already eaten all the ice cream and now you just have the cone. And it's like, well, if you like the cone, that's fine, but if you don't have any of the ice cream, it's like, well, that's the good shit, man.
Mass Effect
it's
3,
just not
you,
the same.
You are an ice cream cone of a game, alright?
You're just the cone. There's no ice cream in this cone. That's exactly what Mass Effect 3 is. There's no ice cream in my cone.
Should have gotten a Cornetto, they have ice cream all the way down to the bottom, and then they have chocolate.
Ah, those things are fantastic. In any case, you should try and keep one writer throughout the whole thing, and that would probably avoid quite a few problems.
Can I talk about Mojang for a bit now?
And his new special thing.
As someone who has tried and failed, right, to develop games many times, I can say, right, I do not begrudge Marcus Persson's development strategy, right? Starting games is fun. Finishing games is not fun. It is whatever the opposite of fun is. Anti-fun, if you're so inclined. Which is why I begrudgeth not his next project, which is a space programming simulation sandbox game entitled Not Times 10 to the C, which I'm told has some significance if you're familiar with hex numbers.
I thought it was something like times 10 to the speed of light or something like that. I don't know.
That's how I read it, but I'm a physics student. I don't think notch is. I'm reading it like solid notation because that's what it looks like, but it's apparently not. Anyway, this game has an impressive and also confusing list of features, including a hard sci-fi story, pilotable, buildable spaceships, seamlessly landing on planets, programmable virtual computers,
that's
mining, trading, looting, duct tape, economy system, space battles against AI, and space battles with other players in a persistent online multiverse. Now, that's an impressive list of features. That's rather an impressive list of features. But Notch is making it, so it'll never be finished.
Well, it won't be finished by him, but...
It'll be finished by poor Jeb. Hope you enjoy sloppy seconds, Jeb. Ha ha ha! It goes off to start a game about taming giraffes.
Who knows? You know, the thing is it's all very impressive, and honestly, it's kind of looking like EVE Online, but with one very special key feature. That's it. That seems interesting, because what it says here on the website, the generator on the computer, it's pretty much, each ship has a generator that's capable of producing X amount of wattage. When you throw shit on your ship, it's going to take that wattage up. And so, you know, put too much on, your computer's not going to be able to handle it. And on your ship is a fully functional 16-bit CPU that you can use to do whatever the fuck. So say you're out there mining an asteroid field or whatnot, you could literally play fucking Super Mario on it if you wanted. And that sounds fantastic. Sounds like really going in depth with your game and making, you know, programming within your programming to program. It's like a really bad fucking Yo Dog joke. Like, Yo Dog, I heard you like this, and I'm not even going to try.
Put that on the box for the retail release. A really bad Yo Dog joke. Sakaman.
Yo, dog, I heard you like computer games. So we put computer games in your computer games so you can play computer games while you're playing computer games.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Thank you. Thank you, Exhibit. Yeah, man. But,
does anyone here think that this isn't going to appeal to as many people as Minecraft does? Because, you know, all Minecraft is you walk around, you place blocks, you dig blocks, that sort of thing.
Whereas, like, your average 13-year-old Minecraft fan, like, they barely even know what a Commodore 64 is, or they might not, let alone be able to operate one, let alone be able to program in friggin', like, assembly-type languages or whatever. It's crazy.
Catsman, if you set an Aspie in front of a game like this, they're going to be lost to the goddamn machine for eons. It's about doing, you know, think of it, like I said, as Eve doing these mindless tasks of, say, mining or intergalactic commerce, and then on top of that, you got a fucking computer in there that you can program to do shit. You're going to be stuck in front of that thing for a while, I think.
You gotta remember, there's a couple of other features on there which may appear as space battles, mining, trading, and looting, which sort of comes across to me as sort of, here's Minecraft, but in space.
Everything is better when you put it in space.
There will even be blocks.
Angry Birds space comes to mind.
Oh, yes. That's a recent trend, isn't it? This game, but now it's
I blame
in
Mass
space.
Effect.
Yes, Mass Effect.
Bioware
in space.
Keiji
and Ifune
sitting there now.
Keiji and Ifune in space.
They did send the massive three copies to space, didn't they?
Oh yeah, that's right.
It's all coming back, it's all cyclic.
I bet Mass Effect 3 didn't get better when it was in space.
I bet it did.
How do you get any more space than that? It's
like space in space.
Here comes another exhibit joke.
No, we're not going there.
Let's move it along, shall we?
I will close, right, by saying, for those interested in Minecraft-inspired games that take place in space, I'll take 15 seconds then. Blockade Runner, which is a game that's already in heavy development, coming on super fast. Dev seems really nice. It looks quite similar to this one, like Minecraft in space with buildable spaceships. You can follow the development of that game at blockaderunnergame.com if you're so inclined. And that's all of my news.
Well, I would like to take this moment, this time, if we're done with the news.
No, I have news.
Happy has news. Okay, Happy. Yeah, I'll dedicate some
news. I'll tell you a little bit later.
Later.
All right. So I have the first two are non-videos. I'm going to do those first. The first one is Jason Russell's wife blames husband's naked meltdown on the haters.
Which one is
now,
Jason
Russell? As you know, Jason Russell, he made the Kony video. He started that thing. And a few weeks back, he ran out in the street naked and started pounding on the pavement and masturbating.
Yeah, I remember that. I wasn't there. Balls
to about the walls,
it.
Insane.
Balls to the pavement, maybe.
Now his wife made a statement saying, "We thought a few thousand people would see the film, but in less than a week, millions of people around the world saw it. While that attention was great for raising awareness about Joseph Kony, it also brought a lot of attention to Jason, and because of how personal the film is, many of the attacks against it were also very personal, and Jason took them very hard."
Yeah.
But he also took his...
That's such a stupid excuse. Like, if you could be criticized, it's the appropriate response to just
run out in the
street. If
someone criticized me, I would run out into the street and take a dump on some passerby, probably.
You just run out... Bare cock and balls exposed to the warm spring air. Is that appropriate?
I cannot believe he went out and did this without being influenced of anything. He must have done something.
Yeah, it was drugs, not haters.
He probably got very rich from that video because his thing was selling merchandise, wasn't it?
They made lots.
He probably felt bad about all the criticism, so he decided to snort some cocaine.
And then he got his cock out in the street.
Yeah, and released his invisible children.
Oh my god.
That was terrible and brilliant simultaneously.
Yeah, I make lame jokes, sorry.
Fantastic, bro.
I think it's a fantastic comeuppance to have given the guy.
So, pretty much either it was a drug-induced bout of psychotic fun, or it was he maybe did have a breakdown and decided to just wrangle his cock in the streets as a form of expressing his anguish.
I will have the internet if I ever make someone so annoyed that they go out and do that.
I guess that's a life achievement right there.
Yeah, it is.
If you have a breakdown, you do not go running around in the street naked and masturbating and slamming against the wall. You go into the bathroom and start crying. You do not run around in the streets. He has to be a guy. I cannot believe he was in any normal state whilst doing this.
Like they say, different strokes from all walks of life. I mean,
yeah, but to an
one person might, you know, like Keiji Inafune might break down in a corner eating ice cream, crying about how the video game industry is.
God damn it, Dark Souls! <time. laughs>
While another person might run out into the street. I'm sorry. Either way, the fact is that, you know, this might not even have had as much media coverage on it either. It might have just been some local newspaper, like, crazed man runs into the street, you know, with his wang in his hand, and instead it's like, nope, Kony 2012 guy, you know, has psychotic breakdown and causes mass distress with nudity, you know?
Mass distress.
All right, so in conclusion, just if you haven't seen that video, watch it, because it's really, really funny.
What video is it?
The Kony 2012 video or him being naked?
Just search Jason Russell naked, you'll find it. All right, so next one. New York City schools want to ban loaded words from tests. I briefly talked about this during the Earthbound stream, but everyone wasn't around for that, so.
I was.
Oh, yeah. So in New York, they started, like, banning... have a list of words that can't be used in tests in school because they might offend somebody. For example, in California, they can't say weed, even if when it's not marijuana, it's like weeds in the yard. Or in Florida, they can't say what's it called? Oh, they can't say hurricanes or wildfire because there's a lot of wildfires over there. But New York has the worst ones. New York, you can't say birthday. Because Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate birthdays. You can't say religion, because some people are atheists. You can't say Halloween or Christmas, because some people don't celebrate. And you can't say television, for some reason. Some people don't have televisions, I guess.
Who knows, maybe the Amish are offended somehow.
Yeah, they can't say divorce, because some kids have divorced parents. And here's my personal favorite, this is the worst one, you can't say dinosaur.
What?
Because dinosaur might remind some people of evolution, and they don't believe in evolution, and so they will get sad, I guess. Can't say dinosaur.
Is this, like, banned words?
From school tests in New York.
From school tests?
Yes. They don't want kids exposed to dinosaurs, man.
I thought this was going to be like the N-word in Huckleberry Finn. Dinosaur? What the fuck is that shit? Dinosaur.
Yeah, but it's like, they don't want people to think about evolution, but they don't want people to think about religion either. Like, religion is also banned, so they just ban everything.
Well, how about we just don't have school tests anymore? We hook kids up to machines and start the Matrix.
Suck out their brains.
Harvest them.
Why don't
we'll
we
just harvest all children from now on.
Why don't we just lock up kids in a room and then, like... lock them up and then feed them mindless propaganda until they become adults, and then we can let them out in the world.
Sounds good to me.
Rubberize.
That's what we're doing.
That's pretty much what's happening. It's like, if kids don't celebrate birthdays, you don't want them to find out that some kids celebrate birthdays.
Oh my god, the horror. You know, I'm offended by how everyone is so offended. I'm offended that I cannot ensure. I'm offended by political correctness.
Well, I'm offended by your offense, to be honest, Tekka Man.
Well, I'm offended by you being so offended by me being offended.
Let's not do this today, of all days. Dinosaur,
let's move on here.
I can't get over that.
Okay,
that's going to ruin my day.
Dinosaurs are so sacred to kids, you know, they're so cool.
I played with dinosaurs when I was a kid.
Everybody did.
Real dinosaurs.
Everybody did.
No, dinosaurs can't be exposed to kids because they might remind them of evolution. Okay. Activision registers ActivisionNews.com. I don't have a lot to say about this. It's just like, what are they gonna...
you don't want to know.
Finally, I can get unbiased Call of Duty reviews.
Maybe, right? They're just purchased it so that nobody else does and starts. I don't know. That is a common practice, I think, to reserve domain names just so that someone else can't steal it and start putting shit on and pretending to be you.
Yeah, nothing might come of it, but Activision.
I really hope nothing comes of it. Can you imagine? It'd be like, you know, Nazi World War II propaganda all over again, but with Activision instead.
In the news today, we nickel and dime you for extra content again!
No, they wouldn't say it like that.
No,
and they wouldn't laugh evilly at the end either. That always gives away.
I would not hide my evil chuckles. But, you know, this is pretty much just their way of saying, like, hey, we're going to talk in the most biased way possible about our product so that you know how we feel about our product, because we care about our product.
And Tower kind of did the same thing back in the day, didn't they?
I didn't think
Nintendo Power was awesome because it had strategy guys and stuff.
Owned by Nintendo, or were they just a third-party company that Nintendo contracted?
I don't know, but I when I was younger, I subscribed to them a lot, and a lot of what Nintendo Power was wasn't really, you know, kind of it was sort of like explaining a game and telling you like the good points about it. It wasn't really review oriented. It's not like, it's like, you know, this is the new AAA title from Nintendo. Nintendo. It was sort of like, this is fucking Pikmin. Look what you can do in this game. Just look at it, kids. Buy it.
Yeah, it was more like a catalog. Just looked at the pictures. You know, you're like, oh, that looks cool. Look at that picture.
It was more like a catalog.
It says here.
Kids bought it for the maps and strategy guides.
We don't have Nintendo Power in UK.
We have something else. I've read, my friend subscribes to whatever it is, the equivalent that we have here. I have seen them give Nintendo games lukewarm or bad reviews. I have seen it. Just so you know.
They realize they can make crap sometimes, and then they kind of admit it.
As long as the people who make the games aren't writing the reviews, like book authors who review their own books on Amazon, you know. Or EA employees who post on Metacritic with reviews.
Oh, yeah. I think the
Mass Effect team made a wonderfully made game. BioWare employee number 5,456. Yeah. Fuck. It's all just... But this Activision thing, it's a silly idea. It's exactly what I've been saying. It's just more company-owned... biased opinions.
Let's just hope it never happens and move on.
Well, yeah, and this is kind of like what I'm saying, like, this is why I'm glad you're partnering up with, you know, with these guys.
GatherYourParty.com.
GatherYourParty.com. They seem like a cool bunch of dudes who aren't fucking biased jerkbags. Like, literally everybody else.
If you call now, you'll get 2 Gather Your Parties for the price of 1, but don't take my word for it.
Okay. Way Forward making Adventure Time DS game. Yes!
Ah, fucking Way Forward. Oh! Yeah, I like Way Forward. It's not going to be friggin' exclusive to the 3DS shop and won't be in boxes, I hope.
No, I think it's going to be a... What, like boxes?
Yeah, like all their DS games I really wanted to play, but you could only get them... you couldn't get them on the DS Lite because... they weren't in boxes.
Oh, well, this is going to be 3DS. It's going to be regular DS, actually.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they're making it for the 3DS also.
No, if it was going to be a downloadable game, it would be called DSi Wear. This is an exclusive Nintendo DS game.
Wait. Give me some juicy details, Happy Man.
There's very little information about it. Penn Ward drew some dancing DSs on his Twitter, and he said he's going to be working on it. He's going to be on the team personally, so hopefully it's going to be better than the average licensed game. What?
Why the Nintendo DS, though?
Because everyone has one still. And
yeah,
if everyone doesn't
DSs,
have one,
kids like
then they have a 3DS, and
but
that can play
that...
DS games.
But doesn't
but
that
not
mean...
everyone has a 3DS yet. Like, I certainly don't have a 3DS. It's too expensive for a poor arsehole like me.
But doesn't that kind of limit the hardware of the DS? I mean,
it's Adventure Time, though.
Yeah, what do you want to do with it?
Adventure Time is a cartoon show.
And normal maps and all that shit.
Like, oh my god, we can't fit all of Jake's craziness onto one screen. What will we do? Put it on the next screen. But we can't do that. That's too much.
The DS is perfectly capable of doing this kind of game, I think, with some with a decent amount of content. I mean, look at all the stuff they fit in Pokemon.
Yeah, I'd rather have it for the 3DS, to be honest.
You're a 3DS. What is it as well? I hate 3D, and I hate people who like 3D.
3DPD.
Exactly, 3DPD. Okay, so...
Yes.
So, next cool thing. News, exciting, possibly.
I'm gonna might stop be saying, now, I promise.
We're going back to BioWare here. Gamers send BioWare 400 cupcakes.
Yeah.
I love this.
A group of BioWare fans organized a shipment of 400 delicious pastries to the Mass Effect creator's office in Edmonton, Canada. Their goal is to protest Mass Effect 3's controversial ending by trying to prove a point about cupcakes all tasting the same or something. I don't know.
The thing that
they all had red, green, and blue icing.
Listen. Posting on BioWare's official forums, user Logan Key writes, "We are currently trying to organize the delivery of a massive cupcake to BioWare's studio in Edmonton. All the cupcakes will be divided into equal parts red, blue, and green colors, but they will taste exactly the same. If you'd like to participate, please check out the thread below and let us know. This coming week, we should send BioWare boxes upon boxes of a dozen cupcakes. We are taking ideas to what sort of notes we should have attached on each box. Some possibilities include, no matter what color you choose, they all taste the same. Or, no matter what color you choose, it's all vanilla. Or, we rage because we love." Alright, so, discuss.
Could I just say, I said again. God damn it. BioWare, right, they made a game with a shit ending and they got cupcakes for it. You're rewarding them. What are you doing?
Why send them delicious fucking pastries? They made a shitty game.
No, you're getting it the wrong. It's killing them with kindness. Obviously, BioWare won't listen when you hate on them, so they tried something different.
You know what BioWare did with all those cupcakes, though?
Hepler ate them all.
They gave them to a hospital, didn't they?
They donated all the fucking cupcakes to, like, some children's charity or some shit.
Oh, yeah. That's bullshit.
They didn't even eat them. This is what you think about our game? Well, this is what we think about your fucking feedback. We're not even gonna eat your cupcakes, you know.
You tried eating 400 dicks. Fucking cupcakes.
They got a whole studio.
It's a pretty big office. I'm pretty sure there's 400 employees, and if they've got Hamburger Helper in there, I mean, they only honestly, need one of those boxes anyways.
Honestly, I think you guys are blindlessly raging right now.
I'm not raging at anything.
I'm not raging.
Pardon?
BioWare donated the cupcakes to an orphanage. They didn't eat the cupcakes for themselves. They are
why don't you give orphans cupcakes? That's giving them nice things.
I'm angry that they got cupcakes for making a bad game.
I'm angry that the orphans
are the ones who fucking won this round.
Damned orphans. Maybe it was all for good in the end, but I love the idea that some nurse comes up to some sick kid in the hospital and she goes, "Hey, here's a cupcake." The kid starts eating it and she's like, "You want to hear the story behind this cupcake?"
No, that's going to make my cancer worse.
I've actually got a quote here for what they said. They said, "We appreciate creative and thoughtful acts of feedback, but we decided ultimately the reason that they were sent was not done in the context of celebrating the work or accomplishments of the Mass Effect 3 team." So, you know, they're not really acknowledging the whole point of it.
Yeah, honest.
Yeah. BioWare just can't listen to criticism, so they've tried something new, and obviously...
They don't listen either.
Yeah, not even trying to be nice to them, they don't listen to it.
It's instead of, you know, putting their fingers in their ears, they're putting their cupcakes in orphans. So, it's sort of like, well, fuck you, fans, we still don't care.
I can think of much better things to put in orphans.
That's disgusting.
I'll never say that again.
That's horrible.
Those orphans have suffered enough from my verbal lashings. They don't need you and your sick fantasies.
I don't know what came over me.
I'm quoting this on Facebook. I am literally writing this down on Facebook right now.
Oh my gosh.
Alright, so let's next
thing. Yes, let's be serious. Call of Duty cited as possible factor in fatal shooting of 10-year-old boy.
Oh boy.
Yeah, a preteen who killed a friend inside a Georgia home was playing Activision's popular first-person shooter before the fatal shots were fired. According to ABC affiliate WJBF, three young boys were Call of Duty Black Ops on the night of March 26th, when the eldest of them picked up a semi-automatic that belonged to his parents. The 12-year-old boy pointed the gun around and pulled the trigger several times, discharging and inflicting wounds that killed 10-year-old Hunter Morris. The case, which has led to a charge of involuntary manslaughter, is being called an accident. Still, the television station reporting the incident spoke to child psychiatrist Dr. Dale Peoples, who said that playing games like Black Ops should have contributed to this terrible event. A game that is rated M for mature probably doesn't belong in the hands of a 12-year-old.
Says there you go, there you fucking go.
Neither does a loaded gun belong in the hands of a 12-year-old.
That's what I think.
Keep a loaded, active gun just lying within reach of a 12-year-old.
Yeah, oh, Call of Duty did it.
Maybe it was the gun that filled the little child with holes.
No, you know what it was? The little kid was screen-looking. The little fag was screen-looking.
He deserved
That's the
it.
Thing. That made him do it.
If you're screen-looking, you deserve, you know, about several rounds to the face. Yeah.
Not to be flippant about this or anything, but seriously, that's parenting right there. Like, I hate to tell people how to parent their children, but do not keep loaded firearms that could kill people within arm's reach of your children who you also buy Call of Duty games for. Isn't that common sense?
This is what I've been saying this entire time. Sometimes the parents are legitimately bad parents. And they're buying their children...
Sometimes. It's always the case.
Well, sometimes the parents can have
sometimes
horrible
the children are genuine little shits.
Pass on their weird genes to their parents. They can have, like, both parents can have the recessive allele for being a complete dickhead, so the kid turns out a complete dickhead, and they're like, oh, well, we tried. You know, I wouldn't want to tar all parents with the same brush. I've seen it happen.
Yeah. Some parents are good parents. They just give birth to the worst offspring imaginable. And unfortunately, their child is a meandering little shit.
But in this case, it's an open and shut case, really. There's nothing to say about it aside from guns, kids with guns.
That's a good. That's a song by Gorillaz, and it's actually a very good one.
It is a good song. Yes, I enjoy that song.
But the thing is you know, saying Black Ops contributed to this is like saying the box of cereal that you ate this morning contributed to the fucking landslide that killed you.
Hey, Tucker, man, I'll remind you now that 98% of people who commit serial murders have eaten bread within 24 hours of committing the act. Right?
What about 98%? Eating cereal?
Well, I don't know about cereal, but that should probably be investigated as well.
Do serial killers eat cereal before they commit a murder?
Well,
is that what they call serial killers?
There's the connection, Taco Man. Read between lines, Taco Man. Join up the dots, Taco Man. It's all there, spelled out in front of you. We need to
fucking
ban
Cheerios and Wheaties are the source of it all.
And Nestle and especially Crunchy Nut. Because
just be thankful there's no dinosaur themed cereals.
There
God
are
the children.
That would offend and harm. So pretty much, don't leave loaded guns around your children, especially if they're playing video games that make people angry.
Oh, eating cereal.
And don't eat cereal.
I want to hear the next item.
Don't eat anything.
Has on this list.
The next item is my personal favorite. That's why I made it last. Final Fantasy teams up with Fashion Line. The heroes of Final Fantasy 13-2 go from questing to modeling stylish clothes. Lightning, Snow, Sash, and others will showcase several selections from Prada's upcoming 2012 Spring-Summer collection, And honestly, if you thought they looked odd in the normal getup, there's something even more surreal about seeing these monster fighting heroes decked out in men's casual outfits designed by a high-end European clothesline. Alright, this is what they say about it, Prada people. Our spring issue focuses on a world of direction and escapism, and having a visually stunning video game franchise such as Final Fantasy work alongside us and leading fashion brand like Prada to create something unique is incredible, stated Max Permain, editor of Arena Hom. I've always been interested by the power of video games and their place in society, and the amount of work that's gone into this project blows my mind. Those interested can pick up the issue in question on April 12th and or order it through Amazon. So yeah, Final Fantasy and Prada.
I would just like to say right now, Keiji Inafune.
No, that joke. We're done with that joke.
That has been a joke for a while now.
Okay, I'm just gonna go out on a whim and say it. Final Fantasy is officially just for faggots and girls.
Well, they've been all about silly outfits for a long time.
Wow, that looks weird.
Yeah,
I know, right?
I posted the image in the chat. And
Is it a CG head that's been photoshopped onto a real body, or is the whole thing CG? Because I saw one of, like, female Lightning, and it looked 100% CG. When I say female Lightning, I mean female Cloud, male Lightning. It was weird.
Yeah, this looks very strange, seeing them in their, you know, futuristic kind of odd fantasy garb. He's wearing a fucking polo shirt and khakis.
The head, I don't even think the dimensions of the head look right. I don't even think the head's on at the right angle, to be honest.
He's trying to be angsty, but unfortunately those clothes don't say angst. They say upper class white male citizen who plays polo on the weekends with his chaps.
I just don't have anything witty to say about it. Definitely not. Not that I ever do, but I mean, come on. But a tie?
Weird as hell.
What's he doing wearing a tie? That's not a tie.
Is the Prada fashion range made exclusively for gay men? Because some of that other stuff just looks weird.
I think that's most of fashion. Is most of fashion is oriented towards women and not gay men, but effeminate men, you know, because there are some quite masculine gay men and there are some quite effeminate straight men. I think that's probably... God, this picture... I'm going to have to put this in the links with the podcast.
Yeah, I'll link everything I thought.
Oh my gosh.
Those shoes, man.
I'm just looking at his socks.
What in the hell... I saw the picture, thought it was sort of normal at first, and all. And I scrolled down, it was...
It's getting weirder the further you get down. I won't talk about it too much, because this is a podcast, and this is an audio thing, but I will definitely attach the link listening to this. I will give you the link.
For anyone hearing anything about odd socks and flowered shoes, you'll know what we're talking about when you click these links.
All right. So that's all the news I have, but I have like a special segment that I'd like to go through this time. You might remember, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, when we talked about an anime that's coming out about girls who are also guns and they go to high school.
Oh boy.
Remember that? First episode came out yesterday and I watched it, and I'd like to give my thoughts on it real quick. I took some notes, so here we go. So it opens with this stupid anime opening. It's like all other anime openings, really. But
people that's the upbeat music.
Looking into the camera.
Yeah. Lots of isometric shots. Lots of lens flare.
Lots of pants. The show itself opens with this kid playing like a prize shooting game at a fair, and he hits. A Nintendo 3DS. They can say Nintendo, but they can't say 3DS for some reason. Like
3DS.
I don't know. Anyway, the guy who owns the game doesn't want to give it to the kid, even though he won it. So this teen girl shows up, and she takes aim and tries to win it. And the camera pans over her ass while she aims. She hits it, and the kids are really impressed, even though she did even though the kids did the exact same thing that she did. But the guy still won't give it to her because she is from Sishu Academy and she's a pro shot, and I guess that makes her win not count. So then this third dude shows up, and he's pretty obviously the main character. He gives it a try. And the girl notices, while he takes aim, the girl notices that he holds the gun really well, and she gets, like, hot for him. Like, her panties get wet, and he almost orgasms, and it's weird. They're like, my hammer is coming to fire, oh god! Like, just looking at how the way he holds the gun.
Oh, what?
She has, like, inner monologue word. About how hot, how... Anyway, let's move on.
My word.
Yeah, so the girl and the dude talk on the way home, and he's it turns out he's her new teacher.
Did he win the Nintendo?
That's unconfirmed. Oh. The girl explains to the dude who's going to be teaching her that all the girls at the school are guns. They never go into it more than that. Like, are they able... Like, are they functional firearms? Can you fire them? Or are they just like... Anyway, her name is FNC, and it pans over her ass again while she talks, and the teacher notices that she wears a thong. I don't know why this is important.
It is very important.
But he does notice it. Take note of it.
What?
Then it skips to at home, where FNC is taking a bath, and she thinks about the teacher, and she's like, I'd fire so fast with those big hands gripping me. So I guess they can be fired as regular firearms somehow. It's like, so, could it be an euphemism for sex, or?
I think it's a euphemism for sex, and the fact that it's Japan, and they can do whatever the fuck they want.
So it skips the next morning at the school, where there's a shooting range, and the new teacher arrives, and he can't remember FNC's name, so he refers to her as the girl with the thong. I don't know when that was a better idea than just asking her name, so she gets mad and she calls him a baka and opens fire on him, and he can't teach for the next day because he's been shot. FNC is really upset about this, even though she's the one who shot him.
She shot him with a gun.
Yeah, she shot him in the head. So, in the hospital, because he survived, the teacher reads up about gun girls. The breasts are the handguard, and the stock is the buttocks. The FNC has a skeleton stock, which is why she wears the thong. I don't know, it's really confusing to me.
So she has no ass.
Yeah, I guess it's something that gun enthusiasts aren't supposed to understand. And while he is reading this, it cuts to FNC, like, moaning and feeling herself up during class. Just like, why is she doing this? Fucking, alright, later one of the girls wants to make the teacher a video where they introduce themselves, all the girls. Not sure what's prompting her to propose this. It's basically all exposition. They go through the girls' respective gun brands, and there's backdrops featuring their countries of origin, that kind of stuff. Here's the best part, alright? The SA-80 girl, which is a British-made firearm, she has the Loch Ness for a background. So, good job, Japan. The Loch Ness is not in England.
That will really annoy some Scottish people, because they don't want to be considered part of Britain.
It annoyed me.
Not you.
Also, the American gun is blonde because in anime, all Americans are blonde. That's how Japanese people think they look.
And have huge tits.
Yes. And so, anyway, later FNC meets the teacher after school, and he seems to be pretty okay with her, even after she shot him in the head.
But like, did he like shoot her with like an actual fucking gun? Like,
yeah, she got her gun out and shot him a lot and called him a baka. Anyway, so they start talking, and he asks her about her thong again for some reason, and she shoots him again and sends him back into the hospital. So FNC gets suspended. She gets suspended from school this time. And the episode ends with her whining about how it wasn't her fault.
You mean she's not arrested and brought
to court on criminal
charges of attempted murder?
I am silently applauding this right now. My god.
It is one
brilliant.
Of the most insane things I have ever seen in my life.
Do I want to know what part of your body you're applauding with?
You know, Japanese media might have peaked with Rashomon or Kagemusha 60 years ago, but this is it. We're at the pinnacle, gentlemen. From here, there is nowhere we can go but down.
Anime is the only medium that would take in this kind of concept and make a show out of it.
You know, knowing Japan, I don't think anime can go down. I think it's at a level where, you know, time and space doesn't matter. Like, if Japan thinks they can make a fucking show about it, they're gonna do it, and they're gonna do it as you know, to the extent that they can.
Actually, this is based on a manga. This is based on a comic. It's not an original concept. I just read.
Well, the fact of the matter is, if Japan has an idea and they want to make it into a form of entertainment, they're gonna fucking do it. Whether it's anime, manga, video games, it doesn't matter. If they can make it a video game, and if they can make it crazy as shit, they're gonna do it.
The whole
I don't really mind, to be honest. I'd rather crazy as shit than do the American thing and import things from other countries and make them as boring as possible, and then run them for 12 seasons until everyone hates it.
At least
it sounds entertaining, you know.
I'm starting to think maybe about Japan, the Gary Busey of the world. They're just that crazy guy that everybody knows, but they don't really want to get to know them too well because, you know, they're fucking crazy.
This is the thing, like, that what you mentioned, that American TV can't just make shows that will go for one season. They have to have something that will become long-running, or they won't make it at all. And now in Japan, shows go for either 8 or 16 episodes. Maybe 28 occasionally, but shows are very
sometimes
short,
50.
Generally.
I don't mind.
But the thing is, Japan is brimming with crazy ass ideas for TV shows and mangas.
There are sane ideas as well somewhere, I think.
Somewhere,
yeah. Like Japan has a lot of shows. Like there are a lot of them. And they, you know, and I like the versatility. Like the, you know, it varies itself a lot. Very few shows are good, but at least it's varied all the time. I'm thinking about like I'm pondering, should I keep watching this show?
I think you should keep tabs on it, keep us updated, and let us know. Just how crazy this shit gets.
You need to keep us updated on this. I think he called you Taco Happy. You know, I probably would
cringe my way through about half of it and then give up. But you know, you have endurance for this kind of thing. You've finished some really terrible games in your time.
Oh yeah.
You have the power to do this for us, Happy.
Well, if this is what you want to do, then sure, quest. No problem.
Will you take this quest on yourself?
Sure thing.
Awesome.
They come out every Saturday, so I'll have I'll talk about the episode 2 and 3 next podcast. See what went down. All right, that's all I have.
Then we've been playing any interesting video games recently. Maybe Tacoman has.
Well, let's see. I played Journey the last time I was talking about it. I got back into playing Dark Souls, I suppose. And I've realized that I was playing it wrong the first time around.
How can you play a game wrong? You know, you play a game.
The developer decides whether you're playing it wrong or not. Anything.
It's like playing Super Mario, and instead of trying to jump on the enemies, you just run headlong into them. I was kind of doing that. Instead of, you know, playing Dark Souls and, you know, fighting enemies, I was sort of just running headlong into them and not really having any idea on what I was doing. So, you know, this time around, I've been, you know, actually upgrading my armor and weapons so that I'm not just using the crap I find lying around. And the armor that I have is now actually, you know, stronger, better. I'm using magic and physical attacks, and I've realized that, well, the first time I was playing this, I was very wrong. I've learned.
I've done stuff like that on games before, and I've played through, like, the game not doing something you're supposed to. Then I replay it, I do the right thing, I go, this is too easy now.
It's way easier.
I have to go back to my old method of doing things the wrong way, because, you know...
Because it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's... Mario Bros. That working out how to run.
But also, I played Fable, the first one.
Ah, the first one.
Yeah, on the PC there. It's actually pretty fun, I guess. It's a lot shorter than I thought it would be, though.
the main quest.
All Fable games are, Tucker, man.
I don't know. The second one kind of stretches itself out long enough to be acceptable, but the first one, if you just play through the main quest, it's sort of like you're done in a couple hours. But, all in all, the one qualm I have about it is that when you make a game with melee combat, or melee combat, however you want to pronounce it, melee I think is the proper way, and you make a game like that focused around a specific type of combat, please make it with an acceptable combat system, not where ranged weapons and magic are easily the opportune weapons to use because they don't suck. And because it's not like, you know, trying to master it with, you know, gasoline and a latch strapped to your dick. It's...
That's an excellent analogy.
Well, the thing is if you try and do it, your dick's going to light on fire, and that's no fun. And
it's
if
the
you play...
fumes that do it, Tucker, man. It's yes. The fumes.
But if you play Fable as, you know, melee, and you play it like I do, you're not going to have any fun because you're going to suck at it. And so all you do, and even people I've seen streaming the games before, all they do is they sit back with ranged weapons and magic and just that's how they win. Yeah, no one ever used melee in the Fable games because the melee combat system in Fable sucks.
The whole combat in Fable sucks. If you're playing Fable for the combat, you're doing it wrong. I'm not saying Fable sucks, but seriously, the combat
if you're playing Fable,
games.
You're doing it wrong.
I like Fable. And I like Peter Molyneux, and I like his silly little ideas.
I like his silly
like his
little art
system.
Style.
You
like, you know what? This...
afraid of Beatles, are you?
I think what I'm going to try and do now is I'm going to try and dig up my old copy of Black and White, and I'm going to play through that. That was a fun game. That was fantastic.
Unlike Tucker, I've been playing new games this month. I've had Kid Icarus Uprising for the 3DS.
Tell us about Kid Icarus Uprods.
Well,
you tell us.
Basically, so there's three main things on it. The first one's really the charm of it. It's sort of got that Nintendo-y charm. Sort of, you know, every time Pit sees a hot spring, he's like, "Ooh, a hot spring!" And everyone's, "You really love hot springs." He's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Are you not going to put like a bathing suit on?" He's like, "No, I've got to be ready." And you know, it doesn't. It's sort of cute and little. Oh, it's hard to explain. It's sort of. It's just really charming.
I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
He's
though.
Got a thing for hot springs, huh?
The thing about Kid Icarus is that a lot of the jokes actually has a little hint of pervertness that's a little unbiased from Nintendo, and I'm like, what? Did you really say that? Nintendo game.
It's like Palutena, who can say she can read Pit's mind. She's like, yes, you better not think about anything. Naughty. And Pit's like, what? I wouldn't.
Palutena's quite a bitch, actually.
That's charming things in a Nintendo game.
Hey there, Pitstain.
Also, on to gameplay. Sort of, it's sort of split between land battles and sky battles. In sky battles, it's sort of similar to Star Fox 64. Or actually just Star Fox in whole, but... You know, except you can aim where you shoot, so you can be in a different place and aim in a different corner. So, you know, that's kind of fun. And you know that's great. You know, you just use the analog for moving and the stylus for aiming. It's the land battles where, you know, people might complain about control. So, you know, in Metroid Prime Hunters, where the controls were okay after about 4 hours of practice.
I gave up long before 4 hours.
Exactly, but you know, initially the controls feel weird and a bit clunky, but after that you know you get really used to it
until you start platforming with it, then the controls are just hell. God,
there's not really much platforming though, in fairness.
There is this one section where you have to navigate an invisible ground which you only see in the mirror, and
I know which one you're about. Yeah, that was a bit awkward.
Yeah, I died so many times there, and then right afterwards there spawned tons of monsters. I had no health, and I'm like, what the hell?
That sounds like a game that I'm glad I missed out on.
I'm not glad you missed out on it. It's a fun game.
It's a really fun game.
That's all I really had to say, so...
All right.
Is that, is no one else got anything to say, Tacker Man? It's you. It's you.
I don't really have too much to say. Maybe I'd like to let's dedicate this stream to a very special man. A man who lived a hard life. KG Inafune.
Stop talking about him like he's dead, Tacker Man. He's dying.
He is dead. No. He knows video games are dying. He committed suicide in his apartment. It was too much dishonorableness for him to handle. He was a brave man.
I'm gonna contact KJ Funa to come over and slap you in the face.
Slap your shit.
I'll never forget Mega Man and that lolly game.
If that's all, then I think it is time for a special fan fiction.
Welcome back to Fanfic Hour. This time I'm going to read Stalin's Monopoly on Love by Dingo Dango Dongo Doo. Note, I don't own Monopoly, Stalin, or the Red Army. Rich Uncle Pennybags was dragged through the gulag deep in Soviet Russia, blindfolded, as the Red Army soldiers who jeered the fat cat capitalist, spitting at him and laughing at his humiliation. I say, Pennybags snorted, where the devil are you taking me? You're going to meet Uncle Joe, the soldier dragging him said. Pennybags raised an eyebrow. Uncle Joe, you don't mean... Da, the soldier replied brightly. Eventually, Pennybags was thrown down into a chair. A voice said, well, so at last we meet. Pennybags' blindfold was removed. He gasped, Stalin, it really is you. Stalin scowled, stroking his mustache. That's comrade Stalin to you, capitalist pig dog. You are no comrade of mine, you communist swine. Stalin stood up and walked to where Pennybags sat. He leaned over him, breathing heavily. I could have you out there, doing hard physical labor. All I have to do is snap my fingers. Stalin laughed, stooping down and looking Pennybags in the eyes. You want to avoid that, don't you? A capitalist fat cat like you doing hard menial work. Oh, the horror. Pennybags' eyes widened. Yes, I wish to avoid that, but how? Stalin dropped his trousers, revealing his engorged penis. It's quite simple. All you have to do is suck my cock. Pennybags cringed in disgust. Suck your... My god, man, what is this madness? Stalin shrugged. Ah, so I guess you want a hard labor. Backbreaking toil, never ending. No, okay, I'll suck it. Pennybags knelt down and took Stalin's penis into his mouth, sucking it gently at first and then harder. Suck it, capitalist scum, Stalin cried. That's it. Suck Stalin's dick. For several more minutes, Pennybags continued to suck, hoping that Stalin would come, but he did not. Stalin withdrew. Now, take off your clothes and bend over. Your mouth is not doing the job. I need to stick my cock up your anus. Rich Uncle Pennybags looked aghast, but he knew better than to argue. He stripped and bent over, his ass facing Stalin. The Soviet leader took his penis and spat onto his hand and rubbed the saliva all over his cock for lubrication. He then plunged it into the capitalist's anus, pushing it in as far as he could. Pennybags cried out first in alarm, but then his cries became more and more pleasurable as Stalin awaked deep-seated feelings within him that he had always denied. Stalin was unrelenting, but eventually his cum gushed out, sloshing into Pennybags' rectum. Pennybags was breathing heavily, shaking his head. It's okay. Stalin said tenderly. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Pennybags shook his head. I'm not ashamed. It's just that I'm a capitalist and you're a communist. Right now, I am a come-in-unist. They don't call me the Man of Steel for nothing, you know. Stalin laughed and squeezed his cock to spurt out the remaining semen. If you want to avoid our labor, then this will be our special arrangement. Once every week, you are to report here for a bumming session. You are to be my capitalist bitch. If you play nice, I may even let you stick your cock up my ass. In return, I will instruct the guards to give you superior treatment to the rest of the prisoners. What do you say? Pennybags nodded in delight. Of course, Comrade Stalin, I shall be your bitch for all time. Stalin grinned. You still haven't spilled your load. He knelt. Allow me. Stalin took Pennybags' cock into his mouth and sucked it, working the shaft and caressing the head like a pro. He was delicate, much more delicate than Pennybags had been, and teased his cock, causing the capitalist to writhe and moan with ecstasy. A crashing wave of delight came over Pennybags as Stalin sucked his dick, and it wasn't long until his gushing load was plastered all over Stalin's face, getting into his mustache. "No, you shall not be my bitch," he said. "You shall be my lover. Maybe, my lover, communism and capitalism can reconcile their differences after all." Pennybags collapsed, tired and spent. He thought that getting sent to a gulag was the worst thing that could happen to him, but he was so wrong. It was easily the best thing ever.
Well, it's interesting. I think I'd like you to go and buy food because I haven't eaten it today.
Okay, so, in that case, later, can we guys. The outro quickly?
I have to be up again in 4 hours to go to dinner at my parents'.
Shit.
Deary me, Tackerman. Right, well, this has been Gentlemen Discussing Vidya, the only podcast that's still made from 99% pure sausages, and we'll be back in 3 weeks' time. As usual, I don't know what date that is. If you're interested, then you can go to lunchtime.org.uk. Awesome live streaming video, almost round the clock, but not quite. And also gatheryourparty.com for hard-hitting video game journalism, if you will. That's all from me, so goodbye, everybody!
Bye! Never forget!
Bye! Alright, I'm gonna go bug Zeph now. Bye!
Awesome.
Have fun, Johnny.
I'm sorry.
Buy double the food, me.
I think I ruined your podcast. Every opportunity I could.
I found a way to one up the Inafune net tuna. I've posted a picture, but I've actually found a video of it now.
Oh boy. I'm watching this video. What the hell?
Hilarious.
Are you shitting me? That's a real attack.
He lent his inch to it in the best possible way.
Oh, what? And oh my god! Oh my god!
This is what I want to be remembered for in history, to be honest.
Summon the Inafune beam from that guy, heavens. Oh my word. Yeah, I thought the sword was extreme, but that was... my word.